Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Stephen Bucci, who's a visiting fellow who focuses on cybersecurity, military special operations, defense support to civil authorities, our friend from the Heritage Foundation. Stephen Bucci, thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. I know that you're top Pentagon official. I mean, the list, we could read your resume. It would take all day, my goodness, with your level of experience. So we appreciate your time. Your reaction, you know, first of all, I will say your reaction in general to the headlines of the Golden Dome, that this at first was treated by the media as something cartoonish, silly, and now the realization that no, this is serious, this is real. What's your reaction to that?
Well, it is real, and people who dismiss it obviously have no idea about the technology or the need. This is something that when President Reagan proposed it, and back then we called it, you know, the Strategic Defense Initiative, everybody laughed, except then the technology started to appear that would get us in that direction. When, the Israelis have had the Iron Dome for a long time, but Israel's a much smaller country than the United States, and its enemies are all around it, like directly around it, like, the next house. And so their solution is particularly tactical. It's at the lowest level of war. They're shooting down not just ballistic missiles, but they're shooting down mortar shells and homemade rockets and all sorts of stuff. And it's a real great combination of computer targeting and systems, albeit simple systems, to shoot down those projectiles. What Trump is proposing is something that's at the other end of the scale of war. It's at the strategic end. It is designed to protect the United States from intercontinental ballistic missiles coming from any country in the world, from rockets that might be fired from ships on our coasts, or if, God forbid, Canada and Mexico lose any more control of their territory, it could also come from there, not from those governments, mind you, but potentially from terrorists, and even from within our own territory. The technology is there. It's real. We've got to tie it together, scale it up because of the size of our country, and it's doable. It won't be easy, and it's definitely not going to be inexpensive, but it is definitely doable, and it builds on technologies we already have deployed protecting the country and have had since I was in the Pentagon back right after the 9/11 attacks.
Well, and a piece of this, and I always weave in the media coverage of this as well, but the image of, and you mentioned, the Iron Dome, which is something that seems more rustic. So here is Trump, and you mentioned Reagan. And one thing with Reagan was, as he spoke about it, it also kind of, led to take down this wall, kind of freaked everybody out about what technology we had. So there's a head game to this as well, correct?
There was, in Reagan's case, absolutely. That was a, brilliant use of diplomatic and informational power, riffing off of military power or the potential of it, that caused an enemy to basically say, you know what, I give up. That's kind of what deterrence does. What Trump is proposing here, though, is literally protecting our country so well that an enemy says, you know what, it isn't worth it to try and do this because it'll never work. It's kind of like what the Israelis have recently done with Iran. Iran shot 300 rockets and all this other stuff at them in one night, and the Israelis shot them all down. Not one of them hit a target inside Israel. Recently the Houthis got one missile through that hit the airport. It's like the one failure of their Iron Dome so far. The Golden you know, other than being sort of vintage Trump rhetoric, really speaks to the size of the system we're going to need here and the fact that it is going to protect us against threats that are much larger, coming from much further away than anything that the Iron Dome is protecting Israel against right now.
You know, I can't help as we continue, Steve Bucci, that we, you know, your, for example, your social media feed as you repost what's being called as a domestic terrorist act of this beautiful young couple gunned down in cold blood in Washington, D.C. last night. And then I look at the so-called mainstream media coverage. It, as somebody with a journalism degree, started out in the news business for many years, it breaks the coverage of these things. It breaks my heart to see the way that they're covering it and what they choose to omit, which is in part bias.
Oh, yeah, 100%. The mainstream media now doesn't even try and be subtle with their prejudices. They basically say, you know what? This, we're doing the good thing. We're fighting a good fight. We're going to convince people to change their minds and believe like us. So every article that's supposed to be news are really like editorials. And that's unfortunate because the American people in general are educated, thinking folks. If you gave us the facts and said, you decide, you analyze it, you know, we'll give you some opinions in there, but we're not going to declare them as facts. We'll just give you real facts, a little bit of opinion, you choose. America would generally have a pretty good, internal gyroscope, my old boss, Secretary Rumsfeld, used to say, and make the right decision. The mainstream press isn't willing to take that chance. They want to change our minds. They failed miserably in the 2024 election, and we fortunately have a government now that isn't playing along with them, or they're not playing along with the government, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, for a journalism major that has some ethics, I think it would be pretty distressing.
You know, you wrote, and it's Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, but it was actually last summer that you wrote a great piece that it's psychic from today, if you think about what continues on. It was entitled How the Revolutionary Ecosystem Sustains Pro-Palestinian Protesters and the BLM Movement. Now, fast forward to today with this suspect who's under arrest, higher education, highly educated, reported from Chicago, socialist, involved in BLM and all of this, indoctrinated, if you will. And so it's this, it's this like virus that infected our young people, high school kids, college kids. And I just want to put it all together if I can, because I don't think people get it yet. When I think about Marco Rubio, as he was Secretary Rubio, as he was trying to explain, even under oath this week, trying to explain why we need to extract people who are allowed in this country, who are part of this infusion of this sick hatred and anti-Semitism, anti-Americanism that is allowed to happen on our higher institutions especially.
Yeah, and it even goes beyond that, though. That's a critical piece of it, because we used to depend on our institutions of higher learning to move our people forward, to give them the tools they need. They get from their parents, and then this is sort of the icing on the cake that turns them into productive citizens. Instead, we have, you know, lots and lots of professors who think it's their job to recruit people to their progressive causes, and it's caused incredible damage to our values and everything else, and it leads to stuff like this guy, or, you know, what's his name? Luigi Mangione, who people say, oh, no, he's really a hero because, after all, the insurance industry is just terrible. Okay, then lobby your congressmen and senators to change the laws. You don't get to go out and just shoot somebody. because they represent a sector of our economy that you don't like, or attacking Tesla dealerships and vehicles that are probably owned by fellow progressives, by the way, because you don't like what Elon Musk has decided to do in supporting Trump. It's just the road, you know, the guardrails are off, and and we have a whole generation now growing up thinking, if I think it's right, I can do whatever I want to support it and to push it forward, and everybody else needs to be silent, and if they're not silent, then we can eliminate them. That is the definition of fascism, and it's not coming from the right. It's coming from the left, and people just don't get it, and this is another example of it. This guy, you know, is the kind of person that we don't want in our country. Now, this guy's an American citizen, but he has been indoctrinated. But why do we want to let people in who are going to be doing that indoctrination? We obviously got enough of our own trouble here rather than letting folks come in and stir it up. And if people do come in from other countries and stir it up, they don't have any right to stay here then. They're not protected by free speech. They are pushing sedition and need to be deported from our country.
Yeah. You also write about, you know, regimes like China, Cuba, Venezuela, increasingly part of that ecosystem that you've referred to, that it's a whole system. I recently heard a stat that there are something like more than a third of a million Chinese students, I guess, under student-type visas who are in this country currently studying. And then why is that? And so this infusion of individuals, and at the same time, warning headlines of China's infiltration of U.S. systems and how that needs our attention, that we need to pay attention. What would you say to people about those topics?
You know, the reason all those students are here, the reason that system developed was that we felt if students from foreign countries, even countries that we were at loggerheads with, you know, adversaries, if they came here, our system would win them over, would at least moderate their views, but might even cause them to desire to have a democracy like ours, a constitutional republic with democratic principles, little bit democratic, and that it, we would win this ideological fight because we have a better system. But what's happened is we've let so many of those people in, the institutions that used to be the vehicle to educate those young people from other countries have instead been won over by the authoritarian regimes that we were in competition with. And now, instead of changing the values of these visitors, they're changing our children's values. And so the colleges and universities across America, the labs, all these places that are employing all these folks from other countries have been hotbeds of ideological activity, in some cases outright espionage and sedition, from those countries that these people originated in. And so it was done with a great plan and a great idea, and it hasn't worked. And the enemies of America have turned it on its head and are now using it against us. And then people on the left politically in America who might not be actively involved in this effort, but they sit there and go, oh, but this is a system we've always had. We can't treat these people any differently. If they come here and they protest, we can't throw them out of our country. This is their right to do it. No, they're not citizens. They're here on visas as guests. If a guest comes in your house and starts knocking over, you know, throwing the dinner plates around and knocking your lamps off the tables or setting fire to your couch, you ask them to leave. And if they don't leave, you pick them up and remove them from your home. It works the same way in countries.
What do you say, as you know, Dr. Stephen Bucci here with us, and you certainly a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. You've been involved and have just such a vast experience, homeland security, defense, cybersecurity. When you think about cybersecurity, the greatest threat to us as Americans?
The greatest threat right now, if, as far as nation states, is China. Russia is shortly behind it, though the Chinese have exceeded them in their volume of activities. They're stealing our intellectual property, turning around, using it against us. They infiltrate our infrastructure. And we're good at defense, but we're not perfect. And defense is much harder in the cyber world than offense. So these folks that are working against the interests of the United States in the cyber world have an advantage. We're getting better and better at it, but we also tend to get complacent about this stuff because we love the convenience of the things we can access in the cyber world. We love to use it. Nobody ever wants, you know, this was the whole argument with TikTok, mm-hmm. when even the Democratic administration of Joe Biden said, man, this TikTok stuff is dangerous. It needs to be stopped. People say, well, no, but I look at it all the time. We can't take that away. Or, you know, China runs small business oriented commercials saying, oh, you know, this guy who sells, you know, little rubber ducks that he gets from China, you can't take that away from him. That's his business. You have to leave TikTok alone. TikTok is an enemy platform. It is a digital Trojan horse that is pushing crazy ideas and detrimental behaviors to our young people. At the same time, it's harvesting information from the millions of people that participate in it. I'm sorry if people don't like to hear that. It's the truth. And that's not a partisan issue. That's a national security issue, and we've got to understand that this stuff is out there, and we've got to protect ourselves. Or, you know, I guess you can just decide, no, we're not going to protect ourselves. I guess we'll just go down with the ship. I don't recommend that. It's kind of a dangerous idea.
Dr. Stephen Bucci, Heritage Foundation, Homeland Security Defense Expert. I could listen to you all day. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you, and I hope you'll come back.
I'd be happy to whenever you need me.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.